Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
We are so glad that you decided to join us today, and I am joined by Chris Williams and Dr. Jackie Mac-Harris. I know that you have some reason to call us, so call us, 1-800-229-3000, and I love to hear the wisdom of our co-host. Jackie, let's hear from you today. What's on your mind?
Well, this past week, I got to go to a conference in Japan, and one of my big takeaways was the thinking outside of the box, even in therapy. One of the ladies created an intervention in which she uses cooking and brings a couple into a kitchen and has them work together. And it just made me think of how little we do that. How little, as therapists, we'll play games with kids. Mm-hmm. We find other ways of, you know, I've used blocks with adult couples to see how they give each other instructions. But we don't do that enough, and we know that it works. It takes people out of their head and gets them focused on something light and pleasant. And we're free then to talk about things we might not normally talk about because you're not really thinking about the stress of what's going on in the world. And it was just such a fun intervention. And so I'm trying to think of all the ways in which we can do that in our practice and in our homes. And without even thinking about it, yesterday my husband and I cooked dinner together, and it was really kind of cool to just chat around all the things that are going on in the house. We've been there a while. Things need to be fixed. But it was very light. There wasn't a lot of stress involved because we were doing something fun together.
I love it. Jackie, that I'm coming out of my skin because I love this so much. You know, God created us as creators. And what we can also see, and I challenge us to look for this, especially in the Gospel of Luke, look at how creative healing is. And creativity is in the healing process. So as you were speaking, I was, you know, I'm working with, you know, a lot of traumatized people, to be honest. But one in, a population in particular is when we experience spiritual abuse or trauma. Like, it's the taking away of the self. It's the stripping away of our personhood in these really fundamental ways. And one of the ways that my clients are making a lot of progress is creative endeavors. You know, one client is painting, another one is cooking, another one is learning to surf. Another, you know, there's these different ways in which these skills, and like you said, it gets us out of our anxious, fear-driven, pained brain and into a much higher level in our brain. And again, I just think there's so much healing in that process that is untapped because we're not engaging in creative activity.
I agree.
So many times in couples' experiences, they don't interact with each other, whether it's cooking or cleaning or those kind of projects that you do together as you live together. So, Jackie, when you guys decided to cook, were you inspired by what you had seen, or was it just happening?
It was just happening, and it was. I think I only noticed it because of what I had just seen. My husband decided he wanted to cook. He started cooking, and I decided I wanted a particular thing, and so I started cooking alongside of him, and we brought it together and had a great dinner.
That's awesome.
I love it. I love it. You know, couples struggle with those connections. You know, we talk about division of labor in households and who's doing what. And boy, how powerful it is when you can do something together.
Yes.
And get along. And, you know, even if you have different preferences on what you're making, it gets you connecting. And I just think it's such a great concept, especially when you talk about therapy like you're talking about, Chris. We do need to get moving, right?
Yep.
I mean, we got to move our bodies, our minds, and create something. We are going to answer your calls after this. 1-800-229-3000. Give us a call.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, I'm Steve Artimer with the New Life Moment. Who is God? It's an important question, both for our eternal and present well-being. If we are unaware, second-guess, or maintain false conceptions of God's goodness, wisdom, and power, we will surely have trouble giving ourselves to Him in faith, love, and obedience. Consequently, we'll distance ourselves from Him and strive to live upon our own resources. You see, false conceptions of God necessarily lead to false conceptions of ourselves, the nature of our problems, and the way to their solution. However, if we see a complete picture of who God is, we'll realize that we're safe in His fatherly keeping, and that the source of all of our troubles comes from being anywhere else. Yes, God is loving, compassionate, and full of tender mercies. At the same time, He's a powerful warrior, robed in splendor and majesty. Who is God? Well, visit me, Steve Arterman, at newlife.com, and thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
I always love to hear his take on these kind of concepts. And one of the things that he just said that is that false conception of God. And how do we find out about God? We read His word. We connect with each other. We cook dinner together, like Jackie's talking about. But, you know, we just hope that you will continue to seek God. And we want to help you along that journey. And you can call us and we'll connect you with some helps along the way. Right now, we're going to take some calls. We're going to continue doing what we do best. And we're going to talk with Melissa. She's calling us from Colorado Springs and called us as a referral from somebody. So we're glad you called. Melissa, how can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call today. I have issues with anger.
Okay. How do you know you do, Melissa?
I hold things in, and when it comes out, it's not pretty. I've verbally lashed out at people who have not hurt me. I have thrown things, broken things, screamed.
And you're ready for help?
Yes.
Mm. All right. Well, Chris?
Melissa, I have a question. You said you get mad, your anger comes out. It expresses itself at people who haven't hurt you. I'm curious, who has hurt you?
Family, coworkers, and people I used to call friends.
Yeah. So you're carrying a lot of hurt on the inside.
Yes.
Okay. Because I would say your primary problem isn't anger. Anger is just the way that your hurt is trying to get out and also trying to protect itself. Your primary struggle is the hurt that you're carrying inside that's unresolved, that's unhealed. And so one of the things is that when we're hurt, we're put in very, very scary, vulnerable places. And instead of feeling the hurt or feeling the sadness, what happens is that to get invulnerable, to get out of the vulnerable place, will default to anger. But the other aspect of that is that the hurt and the offense is down right beneath the surface. And so it's looking for an excuse to get out, and any excuse to get out. And so that's where those moments of road rage can come out. That's the moments of anger towards a cashier at the grocery store or whatever the case may be comes out, because it's just trying to – it's like the body is ready to discharge it. But what it needs is really a safe place to be able to do that. And that's where we obviously would highly recommend therapy in a therapist's office, to be able to work through that so that your insides, the fire that's burning on your insides, can be cooled off and eventually put to rest, and that you can feel a deeper sense of inner peace.
Melissa, I'm curious how often you were told that you couldn't say anything when someone did or said something that hurt you. Like, were you raised to believe that it was mean to say, I don't like that, or to tell someone no, to set boundaries?
I would say, yes, we grew up in a household where we could not express our anger. I think we grew up like, in a sense, like children are to be seen but not to be heard.
Mm-hmm. So the grown-ups could do whatever they wanted to do and say whatever they wanted to say, and you just had to take it. So you learn to suck it up. However, it doesn't go anywhere when you suck it up. It just stays inside of you, and then someone comes along and says hi in the wrong way or bumps into you or doesn't have avocado, even though it's avocado month at Subway, and you just blow. And then you probably feel really bad because now you've taken your anger out on someone who didn't deserve it, and you've experienced that yourself by whoever hurt you. Someone's taking their anger out on you, and so now we're just carrying that forward. What's it like when someone says something or does something to you that you don't like, and in that moment you set a boundary or you let them know that it's not okay? Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
Is that different? Does it still feel like it's an angry outburst?
With the person that I set the boundary with, he was a friend that psychologically abused me. And my father brought it to my attention, the way I was being treated. I was very vulnerable, mother, ill, and eventually passed away. And this person knew that. And they took that opportunity to use me. And when I had enough of their stuff, I let them know in a godly way through a text message that I did, like, I'm not perfect, tried to be a friend, basically, and that my character is in question, because anytime I did a kind gesture for that person, they would stick horns and a tail on me.
Yeah, people can be cruel sometimes, and people who haven't healed will pass that pain on to other people. My friend Chris Williams, you know, says trauma that isn't transformed will be transmitted. And so whatever that person is going through, they've been putting it off on you, then you end up putting it off on someone else. I agree with Chris that therapy could be really beneficial because your anger is protective. Some things have happened to you that warrants being angry, but also some things have happened to you that makes you really sad, and you sounds like you're in grief. And so we tend to lash out when we're not our strongest selves. And it sounds like you've had some moments where you haven't been your best. But I think it's important for you to give yourself grace and for you to be able to forgive yourself so that you don't continue to carry around anger and rage and blow it at other people, but that you can take a pause in whatever's going on in your life and start to see someone that can help you focus on you. Because a lot of times we're angry because we're spending all of our time and energy focusing on everything and everyone around us, trying to make life good for them, and that's not being reciprocated.
That's right. Well, and to your point, Chris, the sadness that we can hear in your voice, Melissa, from these past, we will direct you to a therapist in your area. I'm going to also send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, which will talk about a lot of this stuff, because, you know, the challenge of getting stuck in that grief, which I know you called about anger, but we know that it has the roots back at what happened to you and how it needs to move into a healing space so that those people, whoever those are not in your thought process anymore.
Yeah.
It's really the way to freedom. And Melissa, I'm so glad that you called today.
And Becky, can I jump in with just a quick exercise?
Of course. So
Melissa, this is for you. This is for all of us out there that are struggling with anger. So you can get out, get some 3x5 index cards. And those and maybe even some popsicle sticks. And I want you to glue the popsicle the paper onto the end of the popsicle stick, and that is your protest sign. We all have inner protesters, and they need to be seen and heard. You know, going back to your statement that children are to be seen and not heard. Let's apply that to a people group and see how racist we sound.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that is ridiculous.
Or patriarchal.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. And so it's just damaging to the human beings. We are meant to be both seen and heard, you know. But with that, that creates that protest in us that never got to. And on one side of the index card, you're going to write your protest. You know, I'm mad about, I'm upset about. And on the back side of the protest card, I want you to write, what does this protester need? What's the unmet need behind this? And that may not come to you right away. But I know that sometimes it's like, hey, yes, get into therapy, go to a therapist. And as you're doing that, let's move this thing along. So let me give you that one exercise, and hopefully that can be helpful.
I love that. We always love it. Goes back to the cooking exercise that we're talking about. You got to work it out. And I love that idea, a little protest. And to pay attention, Steve did a devotional this morning at work, and he talked about how we stand in judgment of ourselves, of others, and we don't practice presence. And I think, Melissa, it's time for you to get to the bottom of this so that you are living free of the pain, and we know that it can happen. We are so glad that you called. We're going to go back to the calls. We're taking calls at 1-800-229-3000. We have some lines open, have some people waiting, and we can't wait to talk to you. We're going to talk with Megan, who's calling us from Charlotte, North Carolina, listens on SiriusXM. Hello, Megan. How can we help you today?
Hey, Becky, Chris, Dr.
Hey.
Jackie. Hey. I'm also a New Life partner, too. So I've been waiting for y'all three to be on this panel so I can ask this question. So what do I do when I have a 19-year-old bonus daughter, as these call it, you know, stepchild, but bonus daughter, that has had a battle with lacing marijuana for almost a year now. My husband and his mom, because his mother actually raised her, which is my mother-in-law, it's like they think that it's just going to magically disappear. I take a lot of notes when I'm listening to y'all. I've even recommended some things, but it's just like, it's just going to disappear. It's just going to go away one day. Mm-hmm. These emergency room visits, just some of the things that she's doing. It's just like, oh, she'll get better. Okay, but how is she going to get better? Mm-hmm. Yes, we can pray, but there are some steps that needs to be, you know, done. So please help.
Oh, Megan, you're a good bonus mom.
Yes.
Jackie, how would you get her started?
Megan, thank you so much for your heart for your family. I think I'm first curious with your husband and mother-in-law what their experience was, because their confidence that she's just gonna grow out of this or move on from it at some point. It's coming from somewhere. So I would be curious as to what their experience was with it, and there's a family history. The other thing, though, is having a conversation with her. I'm curious, what's your relationship with her like? Are you able to talk openly and honestly with her?
I am, but my mother-in-law has total control, so it's only so much I can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's who she lives with. But yeah, and my husband, he is he is just a wonderful man, but he's an avoider.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like to handle tough situations.
I hear music coming.
Yeah, you can hear the music. Yeah, and Megan, hold on, because you know we're going to take a break,
okay.
And we'll hear more from Jackie and from Chris. These are difficult situations, and it's hard to be the bystander, you know, when you feel like you can't do anything or the others aren't joining you in the process. But we have influence in all the relationships. It may not work the way that we anticipate, but I'm just glad, Megan, that you're, you know, in relationship with her in a place where you care about what happens to her. It really will make an impact in her life. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the answer to her question.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with favorite listener, Megan. No, I'm just kidding. But you were so nice to us, Megan. I just wanted to affirm your listening. Megan is in a situation with her bonus daughter who is using drugs. There's been multiple emergency room visits, and it feels like you're the only one with the white flag saying, hey, we need to do something for her. Jackie, continue with your thought process.
So I was thinking about the emergency room visits, and I know that there is a syndrome that is caused by using marijuana. Now that it's legal in so many places, there's a lot more research out there. So I would continue to educate yourself and have that information on hand to be able to share with your family. But really, I feel like one of the most important things you can do is to continue to be that safe place for her to go, because there's the father and the and your mother-in-law who kind of see things one way and are more passive, but your care and concern is noted. If you have an open relationship with her, you continue to have that to the point where she can tell you anything, even if you disagree with it. And so her as a 19-year-old having a place to go and talk to someone who, even though they disagree, can be loving and open and not necessarily trying to control their thoughts, there's going to come the time where that is going to be critically important. When she does start to get help, she's going to need somebody to lean on who understands that she is struggling and not that this is just something she should just suck up and get over and don't worry about. So I would stay the course in terms of that bonus mom relationship you have with her and continue to educate yourself and arm yourself with resources so that when she's ready, you have something to offer her.
That's good. Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. There's this really tight balance that you're in, Megan, and that is, you know, trying to be a voice of reality, a voice of reason, and a voice of genuine alarming concern that is appropriate to the situation, especially if hospitalization has been involved. And I even think that calling what we have out there in this substance that is a cannabis derivative, marijuana, is a misnomer. It is so GMO'd. It's genetically modified beyond recognition. You know, and again, I preach this all the time. It's like, you know, Woodstock weed is like 2.5% cannabis, you know, right. Whereas, you know, today you can get gummies at 95%. That's not the same thing. That it's just not. And so this idea that it is a benign substance is, to me, it's one, it's just not true.
Especially in adolescence.
Yes. And it's just really dramatically unethical to claim that it is, you know.
The other part of that too, Chris, is why is she using it? Because we know that people use marijuana for a reason,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
And so
because it works.
Yes, right? Yes. Exactly.
And it works really well.
Yeah. What is she self-medicating?
Yeah. But I think here for you, Megan, the balance is in when we're connected to a person really caught up and stuck in addiction, it's important that we recognize our own powerlessness. And that there are limitations to what you can do as a person in changing the situation and changing it for the person, because it's got to come from them. And so that's going to require you to be able to have some self-care around this situation. But powerless does not mean we don't have a voice. It doesn't mean that we're not connected to truth. It doesn't mean that we're not expressing concern. It's just saying that, like, I'm holding here, but I'm not losing my mind because you're losing yours. Yeah. And so that's a balance that, and I even, you know, encourage people. It's like, go to an Al-Anon meeting, you know, and see if your husband will just attend one with you and hear the other stories from the other people. And that oftentimes can break through some of the denial that he's struggling with.
I love that. Megan, is that helpful?
Yeah, it is. It's just I do not want to see her ruin her life.
Yeah.
She is such a sweet child, and I just can't get them to see it. But yeah. But yeah, that is very helpful.
burial.
Well, we are going to send you a copy of Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction. And even though people will tell you you can't get addicted to marijuana, we know that that is not exactly true. And I know all the phones will light up because I just said that. But, you know, I really think that if we can get to what's underneath, we use for a reason, like whatever the use, whatever the behavior, the drug, whatever. Right, Chris?
I just want to say anything that is mood altering comes with an addictive vulnerability
right.
to it. Anything,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
And so that's where, you know, preach from the rooftop here, you know? It's like, my goodness. And I think as human beings, to respect our vulnerabilities to these things. Mm-hmm. You know,
to respect our vulnerabilities, period.
Yes,
so often
yes,
we just want to yes. overlook or ignore or shove them down. Oh, I'm fine. Rather than look at the reality of how something is affecting us and maybe how it's affected us for generations.
You right? know, one of the most powerful books I ever read on this, Dr. Gerald May wrote a book, I think it was like in the late 80s, early 90s, but it's called Addiction and Grace. Mm. And it just really helped unpack what I'm really talking about here, how we're vulnerable to all and how we're all addicted to one thing or another, one way or another, and God's pathway and what that means and what he wants to do with us in our addictions.
Right. When we have those needs, when we bring them into relationship.
Yes.
It is such, that is a mood altering experience.
Yes, yes.
Right? It's if we can name what is going on inside of us and bring it into safe relationship, it is powerful. And then you don't turn to the substitute, which just asks for more and more
yeah.
and doesn't resolve the issue. We've been helping people with this issue for 35 years. We're going to continue doing that. And we're going to continue taking calls right after this. 1-800-229-3000.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, I just said before the break that we've been doing this for 35 years, and we've been doing this because people believe in what God is doing through New Life Ministries, and they give to the ministry to help us continue to reach out with the best in Christian mental and emotional health solutions. We do it through the radio program. We do it through our intensives, our counselor and coach network, among other things. But we just want to continue to do that. Right now, we have a matching gift campaign going on. That means every dollar that you give will be doubled. And what a great opportunity for you to be part of changing people's lives. We just talked to a caller whose, you know, young daughter is struggling with drug addiction. You know, there are many reasons why we want to continue helping people. Be part of the matching gift campaign. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com/donate, or you can text the word match to 28950. Every dollar will be doubled. And we just, I just want to encourage you just to keep moving in that direction of support and help. We are going to go back to the calls, and we are going to talk with Joan, who's calling us from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, listens on WBYN. Hello, Joan. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Oh, hi. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it, and I just love you guys. You guys are so great.
Thanks. How can we help you today, Joan?
Well, I have a brother that I haven't spoken to since this past November. I'm just going to say that I think he's very narcissistic. Over the years, he's just been very verbally abusive to myself and to my husband. And just to give you a little background quickly, we had a son that we lost, our only son, that he passed away in April of 2021. Mm. And several months later, several months later, my brother wrote this horrible letter to me, just to me directly. And in it, he stated some awful things about me, about how I lived in a bubble. I don't listen to anybody else's point of view. He picked apart my son and said that he was socially awkward and inept and dysfunctional. And the very worst thing that I think he said in the last part of the letter was that we didn't give a darn about, he said it in harsher words than that, but he said, we didn't give a darn about our son. We just let him die. And then, oh. And to him, that was very scary. It was horrible. I know. It was absolutely horrible. Yeah, very, very, very. I mean, it was just the worst thing that you could ever say to someone that's lost their child. I mean, really. Yeah. It was just unbelievable. I just cried. I didn't want to show it to my husband at first because I thought my husband would just freak out. You know, but he, of course, I shared it with him. And so my brother came over last Thanksgiving, this past Thanksgiving. We talked for a little bit, but he showed no remorse. I said to him, you know, that letter was horrible, very, very hurtful. And he just sort of shrugged it off and said, well, I could have been drunk when I wrote that. I probably was, and I was angry. And then he started to bring up things from my past to throw them in my face as if to say, well, you did this, you talked about this person, and he was bringing up things from like our distant past. You know, it just, I don't know. So I haven't spoken to him since. I don't know where to go. I you know, to me, it's very sad. He's my only brother that I have left. Yeah, and I'm just afraid, I guess, that one of us is going to die, and then there's going to be nothing said. And, you know, when somebody's dead, that's it.
That is hard, Joan. Yeah. Gosh, we are so sorry for the loss of your son. That is such a huge loss. And then also what your brother has done is just unthinkable. Chris, Jackie, how do we start with this?
I was probably drunk. As if that's the excuse, right? Because the moment of silence was me still stunned at how awful that is.
Right. Yeah. My head nod towards Chris.
Are you kidding me?
You go for it.
You take parents who lost their only child and you pour salt in the wound.
And this is your sister.
And this is a family member. Joan, I my papa bears out. Like, I'm just like so protective of you and your husband.
Aww. Thank you.
You lost a child. You need care. You need help. You need loving presence to walk you through as long as it takes, if that's the rest of your life. And what you don't need is meanness and foolishness. In the midst of all of this.
Very self-centered.
Then to flip it back at Thanksgiving, like, to your point, that is very narcissistic behavior. But I'm going to do something a little bit different, because what I see is that narcissism, or that label, is a blanket that actually ignores the problem instead of confronts the problem.
Oh, wow.
Yes, because then I could just dismiss somebody, or I can dismiss something because of the label. But the label doesn't tell us anything of importance as far as the actual information and reality goes. He is mean and cruel and mishandled you in a very, very crucial time. Abused you, verbally, you know, abused you at a very crucial time, which makes him dangerous, which makes him unsafe.
Oh, wow.
Okay, you hear that wow?
Yeah.
Notice that I didn't call him narcissistic. I called out the behavior for exactly what it is.
It hit differently, right? There's a different feel when you call out those things that we might call criteria in a diagnosis. But the fact is, there are behaviors that are unacceptable, and we can tend to tolerate them when we say, oh, well, they're narcissistic. That's just how they are. And he, with his, well, I might have been drunk excuse, has been doing that and is used to people doing that for him. People overlook his meanness. So many other things are flowing through my head right now. I'm with Chris. I feel very protective and angry for you, because you're sitting with this almost preemptive grief of losing this person who's been horrible to you, and probably far beyond what he did in that letter. If this is your brother, you've lived a life of him mistreating you. Yeah. And it being excused because of who he is.
Yeah, and so that question that Joan is asking, too, is how do we make peace with this situation, knowing that he's probably not going to respond in the right manner?
Right, and I like that you said, Becky, how do we make peace with this situation rather than with this person? I know that we are called to keep peace as much as it is within our control to do so. Mm-hmm. I believe, though, that sometimes that means setting a healthy boundary. And as Chris said, this man is dangerous to you emotionally, spiritually, and hopefully never physically, but you don't have to give him access to you.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. He does not deserve access to you. In a crisis, he's not the person you want to open your eyes for in an ICU bed and have standing over you. That doesn't feel like a safe thing, right?
Oh, man.
And so if I can't have you at my bedside as my sibling because you're that untrusted, you're that dangerous to me, to my family, then my way of coping with this situation is to deal with the grief and the loss in the situation.
Yeah.
I begin to grieve the loss of this relationship and to start to do work to heal from all of the hurt that's been perpetrated on you over the years, including the horrible things he said to you and your husband after the death of your son.
Yeah.
And Joan, you know, one thing, and I'm going to send her a copy of Healing is a Choice because it will walk through that. But Joan, one of the things that he's done is he's hijacked your grief journey.
Yes.
You know, because it gets piled on because now you can't really go through those processes of healing. But I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to get with a grief recovery group. Mm-hmm. We can connect you in that way. We can connect you with a therapist, and we'll send you a copy of Healing is a Choice.
And if I could just add one more thing, because I think this is important. This is for all of us. There are titles that we have in life, you know, titles like mom, dad, brother, sister, daughter, son, whatever it may be, grandpa, grandma. Now, all of these titles come with a job description. And so oftentimes, you know, I deal with this all the time in church abuse. Oh, well, I submitted myself to this leader. I'm like, oh, no, he had a title, but he could not fulfill the job description. We don't submit ourselves to a title. We submit ourselves to a criterion, a job description. So this is an oversimplistic way of putting it, but I think this gives us clarity. He has the title brother, but he is absolutely unable to fulfill the position.
He's not entitled to your heart.
Yes. He is not entitled to space to continue to hurt you.
And when we come to those realizations, we realize I may still need brother. It just may not be biological.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, Joan, we'll be praying for this situation. You know, one of the things I wanted to remind everybody, I forgot to mention this, in the matching gift, we will, for a gift of $100 or more towards a matching gift, we'll send you a copy of Every Woman's Bible. Misty Arterburn helped edit and contributed to that Bible. And so if you're a woman and you want to give to the ministry and you want to give $100, we'll send you that Bible. And just think, it will be, your gift will be doubled. It'll make a difference in so many people's lives. And the Word of God will make a difference in your life. We're going to be right back taking your calls after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I want to remind our Club New Life family that we are going to have a Zoom meeting on April 22. Isn't that funny? We call them Zoom meetings. Like we're going to meet on Zoom. But anyway, Zoom changed our lives. And we're so grateful to have an opportunity to meet with our Club New Life family who gives to the ministry monthly. If you want to be part of that, our meeting is going to feature Steve Arterburn. You've heard of him before. He's going to speak to us and take questions and answers, and it's going to be a great time. So give us a call if you want to join Club New Life and be part of that. If you're part of Club New Life, watch your email because we'll send you the information there. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to continue taking calls at 1-800-229-3000. I know that sometimes when we listen to the program, we hear other people's questions, and we want to know more. And it could be something that's impacting your life. And so we want to hear from you. Right now, we're going to hear from Angela, who's calling us from Odessa, Texas, listens on SiriusXM. Hello, Angela. I'm glad you called. How can we help you today?
Good afternoon. I just want to say I appreciate you guys so much and all the help that you give folks. You've been very helpful to me in the past. I'll try to make it quick. I need help being able to make sense with how my husband treats me. He is very passive and he's an avoider. And for most of our lives, you know, I've asked for things and I've gotten angry and he just is silent. And then I just get over it because I grew up in the whole suck it up thing, you know. So, but there's been a series of events in the last couple of years that's brought this to a head. I think he resents me in some way or has a dislike of me or even a hatred of me, but he's willing to work on things. So he's doing everything by the book. He wants to spend time with me. He texts me, he calls me, and he tells me nice things. But on the other hand, he's extremely defensive when I say something. He's extremely argumentative. He puts other people before me. So I don't feel seen. I don't feel heard. And I honestly just feel like a lot of this is fake. So I don't know if I just have a wall that's up that's not receiving what he's trying to do. But I feel like there's something underlying in him that is resentful towards me.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Hi. Do you have any resentment towards him?
Probably so, because of just being so passive that, you know, things haven't gotten taken care of in our marriage that somebody needed to stand up for. So typically I would try to get him to, and he wouldn't, so then I would take charge.
So the reason I asked that is because it sounded to me like he's saying one thing, which is his truth, but because you don't feel it, because he's an emotional avoider, and that means that the emotions that he's carrying inside, he's so guarded and self-protective, you can't actually feel what he is feeling inside. It's not that he doesn't have emotions. It's just he's very self-protective, and he may feel criticized by you. And so if that's the case, it's hard for him to show up emotionally the way that you want him to, because there doesn't feel like there's the safety, because he's going to let you down and disappoint you. So it felt like you were feeling unseen and unheard and some resentment towards him, and maybe not liking him a whole lot. And you might be flipping that onto him, because he is telling you he wants to make it work. He wants to spend time with you. What if you just believed him? What if you just trusted that he knows his truth better than you do? Just because you can't feel it doesn't mean he's not actually feeling it, because I think really the challenge is you're not feeling his love. You're not feeling what you want to, you think you would know if it was true. You would feel a certain thing inside. He can't control that. That's on you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get hearing that? What comes up for you?
I just get that he says one thing, but then he acts differently, like outwardly to me, with the arguing and the defensiveness and that. So I hear words that he says, but I see actions that are different. And
when
know.
He is being defensive, is it usually after you've criticized him?
It depends. I mean, it depends. He's got grown sons, and I've learned that if I ever say anything about them, that's when he's the most defensive.
Yeah.
You know, I can't see things like, oh, hey, they need to buy their own tank of gas, or they need to get their own groceries, or whatever. I've noticed that. So, you know, I don't.
Well, Angela, what you're describing, first and foremost, is a very painful pattern and dynamic in your marriage. And the description that you're giving us today is very, very indicative of a vacillator, what we call a vacillator in pleaser or avoider conflict. You know, it's talked a lot about in the book How We Love, and obviously addressed in our marital intensive as well. But first and foremost, I want you to know it's common. Doesn't mean it's not painful. Doesn't mean it's not really difficult. But one of the things that I think you're coming to the table with is a lot of expectations and unmet expectations Now, in your mind, the expectations seem very reasonable, and they probably are. And your husband is not meeting those expectations, so you're feeling carrying around constant disappointment. He's scared to death of your anger and your disappointment, so he's trying to tiptoe around it. But what is not being addressed is the core fears that you guys are carrying around inside.
Your fear that he doesn't actually love you.
Yes.
And his fear that he's never going to be good enough for you.
That's spot on.
Okay. When is intimacy in marriage?
Yeah. Can we get that workshop next weekend?
We will get you connected with that, Angela. We'll send you a copy of How We Love. But, you know, if I don't know, did you say that he isn't open to therapy?
No, he is. He is.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, we'll
are you
connected?
Are you open to it, Angela?
Well, actually, we've just started seeing a new life counselor by Zoom, but we've only had two meetings. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hang in there.
And
sometimes couples therapy can make things feel worse before it gets better because we're gonna go in and clean out some stuff that is maybe hard to look at. When you get the book, How We Love, and you start to read it from the perspective of who am I?
Yes.
More so than who is
that's
he?
That's really important.
He
yes.
needs to be reading it from the perspective of who is he?
Yes.
But your dynamic is, as Chris said, very familiar. I've lived it, only I'm the avoider. My husband's the vacillator. And so I'm really hopeful.
Recovering
emotional avoider. Yes. Yeah. And he as well, and as a recovering vacillator. Those expectations can make things really heavy and really hard and really disappointing.
Well, and the avoidance, too, can feel very abandoning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know? And that's key to vacillator. Yeah. Angela, you know, one of the things I want you to keep in mind, he's willing, you're willing. Mm-hmm. That is huge for both of you. So we're glad you called. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love. We're going to get you connected with information about our intimacy and marriage intensive. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you heard yourself in Angela's call, maybe you are a couple that is struggling in this way. We would love for you to join us at the Intimacy and Marriage Intensive. It is not your typical marriage weekend. We're going to give you some insight. We're going to give you some tools and I tell you, when the couples leave there, they go, oh my gosh, I didn't realize what I didn't realize. We want to invite you to stay with us. We're going to take some more calls, 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Jackie, and thank you, Chris, and thank you, listeners. We want to help you in your life. And so if you need anything, you know how to find us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.